happen, we have to really escalate the noise we make so that we'll be heard.
Welcome to Gay USA. I'm Andy Hum.
I'm Ann Northrup.
How are you, Ann?
Well, strangely enough, I have a couple of big announcements to make. Regular viewers of this show know that I've been making semi-facetious comments for years about wanting to give up all this hard work and everything. And I've finally gotten serious about it. And I told Andy a few weeks ago, and now I am telling all of you, that I am going to retire from Gay USA. I'm not retiring from life or activities or anything. But I'm going to stop doing Gay USA after 30 years. It's just a lot of work, and I am older and tireder.
We've been on longer than Johnny Carson. Literally.
If only we were.
And it's been fabulous to work with you for 30 years.
And before that, at Hedrick Martin. And even though we're no longer living next door to each other, we will be in constant contact still. Just hang out with us and you'll get the show live. But I truly have loved doing it and love the audience enormously. It's just been a wonderful 30-year conversation with all of you. And I'm not disappearing. Who knows where I'll pop up next. But I just am tired of waking up at 6 a.m. and starting to read all the news and stopping at midnight.
It's quite painful to process all this stuff all the time.
Well, I can handle that, actually. But I just, I'm 78 years old.
Whoa.
I know. Older than him. And I just don't, that's not how I want to spend the next years. So I am going to be here through the end of July. Andy's going away for a few weeks vacation. So I'll actually be doing the show 1 week with Chris and 1 week with Jay and 1 week with Kathy and the next few weeks with Andy and then a last show with Andy. So it's been a treat. It's been a gift to do this show. It really has.
And no one does it better. And it has been just wonderful working with you all these
years. Well, Andy, I have great admiration for all your work on this show. And I think the two of us have made a great team, even when we are the Bickersons. Or Raggedy Ann and Andy.
We shouldn't agree all the time.
Hell no. And well, we don't. But we do a lot, and the fact that we have developed this team is, I think, terrific. But
and you'll keep your hand in the, behind the scenes a little bit for a little
exactly,
while.
Exactly, and do what's needed to help out. But I'm not going to do all that work anymore.
Well, it certainly won't be the same without you. But you know, we are going to move forward. We're going to bring lots of other people to the table here.
And if you
Anne will always be welcome.
And if you have a burning desire to say, I can do that.
Or if you know somebody who can do what we do, which is to sit at the table and discuss the news of the week and maybe something about their activism.
I would say.
And we can do people around the country, too.
The first priority is someone with journalistic credentials or at least a bent. It has to be someone who's hip to the news, preferably with some historical context, because that's what makes it. Now, I think Chris and Jay and Kathy and all our other substitute co-hosts have been doing a terrific job.
Yes.
And they've developed themselves over the years that they've sat here. And so I know that I'm leaving the show in good hands. But this seat is available for anyone who wants to give it a try.
You proposed this at this table right before we went on the air 12 years ago. You said, I can't do this anymore. And I said, I understand. We've been doing it for like 18, 19 years or so. It's been great. Thank you. And then a couple of weeks later, you said, what would you think if I stayed? I said, that would be wonderful. And you've stayed another 12 years.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to do that again.
No.
I'm already barely still here. You know,
I know.
I told you I'm leaving and I have to sort of remind myself that I'm still here.
Well,
but yes, I am till the end of July. And then adios.
And I don't want to be insecure, but I hope you'll all still support the show.
Absolutely. I insist on it. Keep up your donations. Keep up your news items, whatever.
And we do get a lot of news from you out there.
We do. So we'll continue to discuss this.
Anything else going on this week?
Yes, yes, yes. Now, you're going to think this is connected, but it isn't. Because, right. as you it's say, true. I've been talking about leaving the show for many years. But you may remember that 3 weeks ago, I came on here and said, my oncologist said, you're cured. You're officially cured. Well, too soon. I've had another mass appear of breast cancer, probably. I have to have a biopsy Tuesday, which will confirm that. But I've had an MRI and ultrasound, and there is a mass there, and it certainly looks suspicious. That's how they've labeled it.
And yet you are here still doing this show.
Well, my leaving the show has nothing to do with that.
Talking about it for a long time. We're
and
just
I went through the whole, the leaving. I went through the whole breast cancer thing over the last year and a half and stayed doing the show. And I would still stay doing the show if that's what I plan to do. But I will. I am going to have to address this new thing. I have to talk to my breast surgeon to see what we're going to do. But but that's, I'll tell you why aside from the fact that I've tried to be very transparent and educational here, when I first was diagnosed with breast cancer, I said to everybody, men can get breast cancer. And one of the stories this week was a Hollywood actor, a man who announced that he had breast cancer. Control room, we can hear you. So Tyler Mane, an actor in Deadpool, Wolverine, X-Men, Halloween, he has announced that he has breast cancer, and it does happen in men, not as often as in women, but men
but
should
more
stay
often
alert.
Than you imagine.
Exactly. And what was the other thing I wanted to say? I'll think of it in the other thing was people would say to me, well, you've had a double mastectomy, so at least you don't have to worry about that anymore. And I said, no, just because you've had a mastectomy does not mean that you can't still get breast cancer. And I am now the latest example of that. It is not a cure-all to have a mastectomy. It's just a step along the way. So now it looks like I have a new little breast cancer mass, again, to be confirmed. I will keep you informed. But here we go.
Well, you and Tyler Mane may finally convince me to finally say to my primary care physician, how about a little checkup here?
I think it's certainly worth examining. Certainly, if you have any kind of suspicious lump or anything, you must get it checked out. But my next step is going to be, how do I keep monitoring myself for any kinds of cancer?
Right.
Now I'm concerned that it could be anywhere or anything.
Well, obviously, we're all pulling for you. And
I'm pulling for me.
We appreciate your updates and your candor, and we're going to miss you, but we want to have you around because you're talking also about getting involved in different kinds of activism.
I want to go back to street activism. I want to play a little more golf. There will be many things to do, and I will do them.
Okay.
Thank
you, Anne.
Now that we have consumed the first 9 minutes of the show, let's move on to the actual news.
Let's talk about the headlines, bad news. Trump, of course, held that grotesque hate-filled cage match at taxpayer expense at and in the White House.
Crazy. And Trump is working overtime to deny does he work overtime?
No.
To deny health and veteran services to LGBTQ people of color, and those with HIV.
David Hockney has died at 88. He was an artistic and a gay pioneer, open about his sexuality and reflecting it in his art way before Stonewall.
I love his art. It's beautiful.
I do, too.
Yeah. In Alabama, charges against Lambda Legal lawyer Carl Charles have been dropped. That was a huge case.
Yes.
So it's really good.
Out trans Congresswoman Sarah McBride has a message for loser Nancy Mace as a documentary on McBride is opening nationwide.
Nancy Mace came in fifth in her primary. Georgia County spent millions of dollars to deny health care to a trans employee, then reached a settlement with her.
What a waste.
Yeah.
Charges were dropped against the Budapest mayor for allowing that huge pride march last year.
And they're on the verge of another one this year, which could be even bigger. Breakthrough for recognition of same-sex unions in South Korea.
20 countries in the African Union are moving toward a joint homophobic policy.
Yeah, let's get in this together. Ryan White has been honored with a statue in Indiana while the Ryan White care funds are cut and restricted.
Okay. Well, how about that cage match? Of course, the news, especially for us, I mean, the whole thing was insane, but that UFC fighter Josh Hokit, you know, gets up after his fight there with Joe Rogan and says, "And Michelle Obama is a man," and everybody cheers, and nobody says anything. There were no statements from the First Lady, Melania, or the children, or any, I don't expect anything from Trump.
He smirked.
I mean, this is something these idiots have been saying for 20 years, and it's just so disgusting, especially, and it's something they especially do to black women.
Oh, my God, yes. Black women are such a target. For the white supremacist right wing, it's just stomach turning.
Well, he's also said that Brittany Griner is a man, and anyway,
they get a lot of enjoyment out of that. But they also
you need your ass whooped if you go into a women's room and you're a man, you know, you're a transgender. These are violent people. We're a violent nation. We just look at all the damage we've just done in the Middle East. Again.
To no end. And I certainly am enjoying, with a little schadenfreude, the perception that Trump is a loser and has failed. And this is a great disgrace for him, how he's
absolutely come
out in this war.
And, of course, this was also the week that Elon Musk became a trillionaire with this SpaceX IPO. Now, he poured $290 million into the 2024 election, so now he'll have at least $1 billion to throw around in this election. And that, you know, that's another danger to this country.
Well, there's all this work going on from the Trump administration to really, really screw around with this coming election. The FBI went into another state, Ohio, to seize records from a nonprofit organization that does voter registration. Heaven forbid. The Post Office is now saying that they won't supply mail-in ballots in states that are not handing over their voter rolls. It's going to get worse, and they're going to seize voter records and ballots from any state where Republicans have not won.
And a black congresswoman, forgive me for not remembering her name, she was on the board of the Kennedy Center. She's the one who got Trump's name off the building, although we're not being allowed to see it. And then Trump named his personal lawyer, James McDonald, the one who is doing his appeals in the Stormy Daniel case, to be the U.S. attorney for the Southern District where we live.
It's just endless and horrible.
More bad news. Art Leonard, the law professor, tells us there's a big alarm. The Supreme Court is going after due process and denying it to ICE detainees. That's what they're contemplating. This is real fascism.
And just as a sidelight, Kash Patel, our beloved FBI director, turns out has a slush fund and is paying agents on the side when they go after Trump's enemies.
I would say that's impeachable.
I would like to think so. I would like Trump to actually be at least asked about it, to which he will say, "I don't know anything about that."
Well, how about this, Donald? This is from Barbara Warren, who is in social services. HHS's Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration, their latest $40 million in grants are restricted now This is the way they mark Juneteenth with extreme racism. Mm-hmm. They're denying, they can't use the funds that anything that encourages racial preferences or other forms of racial discrimination, by which they mean anti-white. You have to deny the recipient of the sex. Denial by this recipient of the sex binary in humans, or the belief that sex is chosen. It can't deal with illegal immigration. It goes on and on and on.
This is what they're imposing across the board in every context.
The grant funds can't be used to treat HIV. I mean, come on.
Because that is considered favoritism for people with HIV.
I mean, and then
we are gobsmacked. And then HUD proposes a rule to rescind the equal access rule, which guarantees non-discrimination in federal housing, including homeless shelters.
They're moving very fast, and this is every one of these is a cut to us. The Education Department's getting rid of their Civil Rights Division, and the Department of Veterans Affairs has ordered health facilities to eliminate gender identity-based initiatives and strip LGBTQ designation from a network of medical coordinators that were created to help us.
The Veterans Administration is removing all acknowledgement of LGBTQ veterans at veterans hospitals.
Yes. All right, and that, but a Maryland district judge, Julie Rubin, has denied a request to turn a challenge against one of the Department of Justice's requests for trans youth private health information into a class action suit. She's sympathetic, sort of, she says, but, you know, we're not.
Well, she quashed the subpoena for the medical records of trans youth. She just isn't turning it into a class action suit.
Of the motion brought by 11 families.
She called the subpoenas a classic fishing expedition, which, of course, is exactly what it is. There is one piece of good news here. A court has declared that the Trump administration cannot alter historical markers at national parks and other sites, museums, to push a white supremacist agenda, and that they must restore the original signage. So we'll see if the trans references go back up at Stonewall, or
the original signage is back up on the Kennedy Center, but we're not allowed to see it.
That's right. They'll just put tarps over everything.
Put a tarp over him.
What is wrong with them? And what's wrong with Pete Hegseth? Well, we know what's wrong with Pete Hegseth. But taking down the picture of the four-star general, David Chappie James.
The first black four-star general in U.S. military history, a war hero. I mean, even Florida has named a bridge after him. You know, this is this.
They took down the picture and moved it to an unknown location. And has Hegseth been directly asked about this? Not that I've seen.
This guy flew 179 combat missions in World War II, Korea, and Vietnam. I mean,
he's black, and therefore Hegseth is offended by having to walk down a corridor and see him.
Even Ronald Reagan honored this guy.
Yeah. Back to the bad news. In L.A., the U.S. attorney is investigating voter fraud in the recent primary before they finish counting the ballots.
At some point, we'd like to talk about David Hockney, but
we'll get to that in a second.
I'd like to take a break.
I just want to finish this section by saying that the park ranger who helped hoist the trans flag in Yosemite, Shannon Jocelyn, who was fired for doing so, although she did it when she was off duty, and it's legal to host flags in places like that, on El Capitan. A district judge has dismissed her case against the Park Service on a technical ground, saying that she sued in the wrong jurisdiction. She has to go back to the Civil Service Reform Act as administered by the Office of Special Counsel.
Well, I like her quote. She says, "I understand the gravity of being let go for an identity that this administration has turned into an ideology.
Exactly. Now, speaking of...
Oh, and they've also, Trump has also ended non-discrimination in shelters, homeless shelters, domestic violence shelters.
Yeah.
This is obviously to impact trans people and gay people and all that.
Well, here's a better quote on identity from Carl Anthony Towns of the winning New York Knicks. "We reflect all our fans and their lifestyles and what it takes to make it in New York City." Thank you, Carl Anthony Towns. That was lovely.
Very nice. Okay. Well, David Hockney, we almost put him up top because he's such a significant figure. Here's a picture of him when he was quite young. He was always very out there. He's an Englishman from the country. And
pre-Stonewall. He was out pre-Stonewall.
He never hid who he was, and not just personally, mm-hmm. but in his artwork. Look, this is one of his early works.
Yeah.
Two Men in a Shower. And this is, you know, that's from 1963.
Mm-hmm.
And so, look, I mean, he's more known. Well, there he is when he was younger with his partner, Peter Schlesinger, one of his boyfriends. And then Schlesinger was immortalized in this painting, which is called Portrait of the Artist Pool with Two Figures, and from 1972. This painting sold for $90 million. The most for a living artist ever.
I do think his work is beautiful. And he was famous for being an Englishman who moved to L.A. for the light.
There he is later in life.
And color.
He never stopped working. He's got the thing in his hand. He never stopped working or changing the forms.
Paintbrush.
Well, I don't know.
That's what they call it, a paintbrush.
The brush. Well, I mean, read all about him. There's so many articles about him. So many appreciate. He brought a lot of joy into people's lives. And he was asked if he was a hedonist because he was pretty out there. He said, "If I was a hedonist, I wouldn't be able to do this work." And he loved to work all the time.
He did. That's one thing that comes out in the obits. But he was very innovative. He made paintings out of Polaroids. He
made paintings out of faxes.
Yeah. He was just creative and curious and ambitious to do new things and in new ways.
We can all take a lesson from him about living our lives authentically.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to do.
Okay. Painted a lot of his gay friends, Christopher Isherwood and Don Bacardi, Henry Geltzahler, Divine.
It was, it was noted that he lived in a sort of circumscribed world. He's not painting trans people in homeless shelters. But for the world he covered, it was just fantastic.
Yes.
And beautiful.
Okay. All right. We did that. Let's move on to more news from Art Leonard. Charges have been dropped against Lambda legal attorney Carl Charles.
Now, this is a big deal.
He's involved in a case in Alabama, and this is Carl, who is trans. And the judge, they were going after him because the judge didn't like him, basically, and said, "You lied about this." He said, "Look, I made a mistake, and when I was saying something, I immediately apologized. But the judge just decided we're bringing charges against you." And somehow these charges have now been dropped.
It became a big right-wing talking point that this was an example of the left judge shopping, because he took the case out of there and went to another court to file it, whatever the case was. And that became a relentless attack by the right wing.
Yes, of course.
The left was judge. This from the right wing, which does nothing but go to this little town in Texas with all their cases.
To prosecute people in Providence, Rhode Island.
Exactly. So the fact that the charges have finally been dropped against Carl is great for him, but also in a much more macro way exonerates the movement.
And he's very involved in all, especially the transgender rights cases there at Lambda Legal.
Yeah.
In Key West, they have the city of Key West, you think of as so liberal, well, they're nixing their rainbow arch art project due to DeSantis's anti-DEI law. I mean, this is just nuts. And I hope that the money comes from somewhere else to put the arch up somewhere else.
Yes, that would be nice. They want, the problem was they're accused of celebrating diversity, which is now illegal in this country.
Yes.
You cannot celebrate diversity. You must strive for a monochromatic white supremacist population.
How does that fit in with the motto of the United States, one out of many? Are you allowed to talk about the many?
Well, I think what that they are now interpreting that as the one. That's what we want, the one.
But, well.
Just a guess.
In Philadelphia, you know, we've told you about the what's going on with their community center. The Dr. Magnus Hirschfeld Fund says it's leading an effort to build a new community center there at on Spruce Street, where the old one has been, and to also open 40 affordable housing units there.
Yes. It will still be the William Way Community Center in the same place and have these 40-plus new apartments.
In Hazel Park, Michigan, this is now the first community in the Midwest and the ninth in the nation to protect family structure from discrimination, including the polyamorous.
I'm going to go back to Florida for the story which perhaps breaks my heart the most this week from St. John's County, which I think is St. Augustine area in the northeast corner. The St. John's County School District has fired a teacher who was so highly regarded, really considered one of the best, because he's intersex. And he
the way that God created him.
Exactly. No surgery or anything. But he when he was hired, he submitted his papers and with all his information, including the fact that he was assigned female at birth. This is, you know, we talk about trans people often as assigned male at birth, assigned female at birth. But this is an intersex person who was literally, when people are born with anomalous genitalia or hormones or whatever, the doctors often make a choice. We're going to assign this person as female or male, usually female, because usually, and I don't know if this is the case in this case, but often because the penis is small and
let's just get rid of it.
Or let's ignore it because it's so small and we'll just have this person grow up as female. But they may, in fact, be have male hormones or chromosomes, and this person grew up and identified as male and has lived as male, and the school district has now labeled him as a liar or a trans person, and they have fired him.
Well, he's got a lot of confidence. He's even going to the EEOC, which is very hostile to us these days. But this is straight up sex discrimination. And also the Florida Civil Rights Act of 1992 forbids this kind of discrimination.
Just horrible. Imagine you're honest. You go in there. You describe yourself as you are. It is no longer legal in this country to be as you are. You have to conform. I mean, what do they want him to do?
And how did this happen? Well, some parent who watches Fox News all day, and this is all they talk about, was disturbed by his presence in the classroom because they have demonized all of us, especially trans people, especially intersex people, all that kind of stuff. And it leads to violence, and it leads to things like this.
Well, speaking of violence, and still in Florida, there were, you know, acknowledgments this week of the 10th anniversary of the Pulse massacre, and there was a nice ceremony in
a church,
Orlando,
yeah.
In a church there. So
yes,
we just
and we had a commemoration here in New York as well.
Yeah.
As well.
And we've
never
told
forget,
you that there's
49 people dead and 50-something injured in that
yeah,
massacre.
Yeah. And I must say, you know, I have great skepticism about memorials and
yes,
all of that. But I like the design of the Pulse Memorial.
Yes, we showed it on the show. And, of course, this is the site where DeSantis said, you got to get rid of the rainbow crosswalk. So they have featured the rainbow on the sides of the building, on the pool. I hope they don't get algae, and et cetera, you know.
Oh, my God. Yeah, Trump is not having a good week.
But it's Obama's fault.
Everything is.
Out-trans Congresswoman Sarah McBride, Democrat of Delaware, you know, she gets a hard time. And there is a doc. Well, there she is, though, able to have some Schadenfreude with
Schadenfreude.
I'm not going to be able to get along without you, Ann.
I'll call in.
With Nancy Mace, who went after her with a vengeance, was going. Sarah wrote, Congress's top bathroom sheriff, Nancy Mace, was on the ballot, and she's in a respectful fifth place, which is an allusion to that turf swimmer who came in fifth and is, right.
Leah Thomas.
Riley Gaines.
Either one. Yes,
exactly. So she says, I don't like to punch down, and I believe in the politics of grace, so I'll just say, happy pride, Nancy. Anyway, the movie about Sarah is coming out. It's called State of Firsts.
Because she's from Delaware, which was the first state.
And she's the first openly transgender person elected to the Congress.
Right.
It premiered last year at Tribeca, but it's opening nationwide this month. So Google it, State of Firsts, and you'll find where it's playing in your area.
Yeah. And we have a couple of other movies to recommend at the end in entertainment news.
If we have time.
Get a pen and paper.
Speaking of firsts and non-firsts, I talked to the mayor's essentially liaison. She's the head of the office for what do they call it? The mayor's office for LGBTQIA affairs. And I wanted to ask her questions about what's going on with trans care, especially for youth, and about her office.
Taylor Brown.
First of all, how's it going so far in the office?
Oh, it's going well. So I'm about 7 or 8 weeks in. So we are still very much getting up and running in terms of operations, filling out our agenda, and moving through budget season.
Okay. How do people get in touch with your office if they have concerns from the community?
Yeah. So right now I have been passing out business cards mainly to get in touch. But as we get our infrastructure built, which includes our website, we also have an Instagram where people have been reaching out. But once our website is up and running, we'll have a contact email.
Which you expect to be around?
I don't have a date certain right now.
Okay. So, the news this week is the mayor opened up these clinics for trans kids.
Yes.
And is excluding people under 19. How do you justify that when he campaigned on this will never happen on my watch?
Again, so I think people misunderstand that administrations are a continuation. This clinic was in the plans during 2025, was a part of DOHMH's expansion of clinics. And so, again, that was never in the plan to begin with. And this is a pilot clinic to expand upon that. There's also differences in services that you can provide in a clinic-based setting versus a hospital-based setting. And what's more, we just announced the $50 million investment across 2 years for gender-affirming care for minors. And those plans are still very much being planned.
You plan on providing the services to minors?
Services for minors are being provided at health and hospitals right now.
They are. So,
correct. That's publicly available information on their website.
Okay, so you're helping clarify that this is it is going on.
Yeah.
Okay. Finally, I have to say, as someone who served with Mayor Dinkins as a human rights commissioner, why do you keep saying that it's the first ever such office when he opened one in 1990 before the mayor was born?
And can you tell me the name of that office?
It was called the Mayor's Office for Lesbian and Gay Concerns.
Okay. This is the Mayor's Office of LGBTQI Affairs, which is a bigger expansion on lesbian and gay concerns, and there are different needs for the community of much more diverse now. So it is definitely a different office in terms of distinction.
So why not just say, I said to her afterwards, that you're reviving the office, you're expanding it, you're embracing more identities. I also said, if somebody else adds some more letters later on, do they have the first ever office? It's just,
I'm a little appalled that they don't have a website and you can't contact them directly.
Right. I mean, when Marjorie Hill was head of the Dinkins office, you just called her on the phone and you got her.
Those were the olden days.
Well, very few administration officials for the last 20 years answer the phone anymore.
Yeah.
Times have changed. Okay.
All right.
All right. So that Mike Collins won the Republican primary for U.S. Senate to face John Ossoff. He's a first-class bigot. A lot of it is very anti-trans.
I'm amazed at all the enthusiasm around John Ossoff. He's
for president now.
He's the next,
and the first Jewish president if he gets elected.
Yeah.
Although, you know, Josh Shapiro's could be as well.
Exactly.
All right. So the Idaho. The district judge there, a Biden appointee, she issued a 30-page ruling granting preliminary injunction blocking the enforcement of this you can't go in the bathroom law, which had draconian penalties.
Yeah.
Because the law says unless you're in absolute desperate need, you can't go in. And if there is a single-serve restroom, you have to use that. You can't use the other ones. And this is such a confusing thing, but she didn't totally shut the law down, but people are hailing it as a victory.
She said your first choice has to be a single-use bathroom, and if that's not available, then you can use the regular bathrooms.
Yes.
While this case is still being litigated.
Yes. But again, this is all going to be left up to the judgment of who in the buildings, on these public buildings and private buildings, to people, just individuals who want to make, you know, there's a man in there, that kind of stuff.
Well, I think it's quite clear. But well, what do I know?
All right.
All right. In Georgia, the state has settled a health care case brought by a trans deputy sheriff.
Anna Lange, L-A-N-G-E.
They're probably Lang, but
Lang,
whatever.
In Houston County.
She has been suing for years trying to get health care coverage as a state or local employee, and the state has been fighting her like crazy and has spent millions of dollars to deny her coverage.
To deny $10,000 to $20,000 worth of care.
And finally, after spending that $2 million, they have settled the case with her and given her coverage.
Well, they're going to maintain exclusion for gender-affirming surgeries, but will cover non-surgical gender-affirming health care.
Whoop-de-doo.
She's still employed with the Sheriff's Department and will be covered for any procedures contemplated at the time of that. Okay.
In Orange County, New York, they have a new out-gay legislator in their county legislature, and he brought a motion to celebrate Pride Month there, which they'd never done, and they unanimously approved it.
Wonders never cease.
Yeah.
A trans woman in Wyoming, this is a long case that's been going on for a while, is facing two felony charges for defending herself outside of the Crowbar and Grill in Laramie, where a man identified as Scott Dunham began to shout homophobic and transphobic slurs. She pulled out her gun. It's an open carry state.
It's Wyoming.
They are prosecuting her. She faces up to 15 years in prison for these charges. And it's gone back and forth. Judges,
well, it's a stand-your-ground state.
Right. She didn't fire the gun.
No.
Et cetera.
But she's trans, so.
Yes.
And in Houston, they have arrested David Ceron, C-E-R-O-N, 22 years old, for the murder of Persia Amara Conway, a trans woman. They found her body in a catch basin next to the Brazo Bayou. Her mother and daughter said she was very true to herself and beloved in the community. We hear that more and more, that these trans women who are being murdered were beloved community members. We have a local news report on this.
Family and friends spoke out at a vigil for Persia Amara Conway, saying they don't believe her case is being taken seriously because she was a trans woman. Maria Aguilera is live at HPD with the story for us. Maria.
Yeah, tonight's vigil was filled with candles and an emotional plea for justice. Now, loved ones say they gathered to honor the life of Persia Amara Conway, sharing a message they say is bigger than this one case. Montrose Center, filled with love for Persia Amara Conway.
It's not only about mourning.
family, friends, advocates, and community leaders came together to honor her life and support a family searching for answers.
What I will carry in my heart until the day that I die is that my daughter was true to herself.
According to Houston police, her body was found last week on Memorial Day in a stormwater catch basin near Brays Bayou. Those who knew her say she was loved and deserved better.
This is the time to heal, to restore, to show them that we're standing together.
Throughout the evening, speakers called attention to violence against trans women.
Lift up the names of those that we've lost.
Taking a moment to honor Jade Roberts, another trans woman killed in Houston earlier this year. Before the vigil,
she's crying my tears because I've cried.
Family gathered to share a few words.
Her entire life was dedicated to being seen and to be left outside with no dignity is heartbreaking.
Conway's family says they are determined to keep pushing for answers.
I am committed to continue to say my daughter's name each and every day until justice is served.
Her mother shared a message for other parents of trans children.
Fight for your child. It is worth every breath in your body.
Great to see the family standing up.
Yes, in such a large crowd at the vigil. It so often, these poor murdered trans women are disregarded.
Well, in Norfolk, Virginia, a trans student or former student at Norfolk Public Schools, Tatiana Blount, lived and is able to stand up for herself. But in school, she was so harassed and bullied that she had brain injuries. And so she's suing the schools that this stuff was brought to the attention of authorities by her and her mother repeatedly. And she's suing the Lake Taylor High School district there.
It is a complete horrifying mystery to me why these school officials, time after time after time, do not take seriously the complaints of bullying and violent attacks.
When she was attacked, the school authorities didn't even call emergency services.
Unbelievable.
Yes.
Well, we have one in Congress, James Jordan, who let rapes by the wrestling coach go unaddressed.
Right.
In Alexandria, Louisiana, trans woman Marlo Trotty, 35 years old, was murdered. No details of the murder, but the report is that she also was very loved and treasured by her family. We'll give more details when we have them.
Someone else we lost this week was an Oscar-winning costume designer from Hollywood. Albert Wolski died at 95, won Academy Awards for his sequined ensembles for All That Jazz and his mob wear for Bugsy. And he also was the one who did Grease and Sophie's Choice. And was so beloved, the directors just said, whatever he says, do it. Warren Beatty, all these other people.
Yeah.
Now, he's somebody who fled Paris during World War II with his Jewish family and settled in New York, anti-Semitism there. He had more than 80 credits. His partner of 39 years was James Mitchell, a dancer and choreographer for Agnes DeMille, and an actor who was the diabolical patriarch Palmer Cortland on All My Children for 3 decades. He died in 2010.
The Cleveland Clinic in Ohio is the second to be forced to open a detransition clinic. Very sad. An update on the Texas Senate race. Tallarico has now had to announce that he is not in favor of surgery for trans youth. He's taken a step back, but still supports, you know, hormone, puberty blockers, whatever. But no, I mean, nobody supports surgery unless absolutely necessary. But meanwhile, Paxton, the right-wing Republican, says he's in favor of outlawing gay people. He wants sodomy laws reinstituted. Oh. Get rid of Lawrence v. Texas.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we had a sodomy law right here in New York until 1980. So I was a criminal for many years. All right.
international news?
Well, you know, good news from Hungary, where the Budapest mayor, I'm not going to try to mispronounce his name, he defied the ban, Orbán's ban, yep. if I may, on pride marches. Nobody was allowed to do it. He organized it, and he led it, and everybody was supposed to, everybody, there were hundreds of thousands of people. Everybody was supposed to be prosecuted. No one was. And now, you know, they're going to have another one this year.
Well, they dropped the charges against him finally because they have a new administration. And so we're looking forward to seeing the 10 million that show up this year.
The new prime minister, Peter Magyar, he was in the parliament, and one of these Orbán guys who's still in the parliament was going after him on gay stuff. And did he light into him and was totally cheered by the parliament? You're obsessed with, you know, pride and, you know, trans and this. And he says, you don't care about kids. You know, you go after single parents and gay parents, but you don't go after traffickers and things like that.
Perhaps the fever is breaking. I look forward to that kind of exchange in the United States Congress.
I'd show it to you, but it's all in Hungarian. So.
That's all right.
I was very moved by it.
Yeah. In Russia, new arrests and beatings of LGBT people, not unlike what happened in Chechnya a few years ago. Arrests around extreme people labeled as members of extremist organizations with non-traditional practices and practicing prohibited ideologies. It's just the pogrom is in place.
I was surprised to read this because it's only just happened. But in the Netherlands, the Senate there has finally gotten around to banning conversion therapy.
They're ahead of us.
Well, yes. Although many of our states have, the king still has to sign the law.
We assume he will. In Niger, the military junta has banned homosexuality with a penalty of 5 to 10 years in prison. And evidently they're doing a continent-wide
The new draft charter for the African Charter on Family Sovereignty and Values that they drew up, led by Uganda, has advanced this thing where they're rejecting something they adopted in 2003 based on gender equality and reproductive rights. And they're saying gender is strictly binary, and they're enshrining parental authority over children's sexuality.
Let's just take a breath for a moment and think about the fact of how the LGBTQIA communities around the world are under constant attack.
This is why this job is so exhausting.
Yeah.
We've done this for 30 years. I don't remember it being this exhausting when we started.
Well, it's just we go through this stuff almost routinely at this point. This story, this story, this story, this story. But I think we need to take a step back and really absorb the fact of how much we are under attack on a daily basis. It's just it's mind-blowing, and it is a threat of violence, of,
We were getting people on our side. We were getting corporations on our side, and they've all run away.
Yeah, well, certainly they have. And
the politicians were a little hesitant to do this, thinking, oh, they're not going to come to my state if we're anti-gay.
It's mixed. We still have many, many allies and friends, and we still make progress in a lot of ways. But it is just a constant daily assault around the world that it is a miracle we all live with and go on with our lives because we are just assaulted on a daily basis.
And I'm not talking about your case, but I hear from people who say this is taking a toll on my health.
I play golf and watch The Real Housewives.
In South Korea, they had a ruling on a case of alienation of affection that recognized in the court the union between two individuals of the same sex for the purposes of a case about alienation of affection.
They said same-sex couples deserve respect and protection, but not marriage yet.
It's a de facto marriage, they say.
And in Australia, the Australian Football League has suspended another player for homophobic slurs. We're up to a total of 8.
Well, that's great that they are on top of this, at least.
And they say there are a lot more who deserve that.
Right.
All right. AIDS and health news.
Okay, I'll skip those stories. Hold it a second.
I went to the Iris Long Memorial this last weekend, and it was very moving. Iris was such a hero, and the one point...
Dr. Iris Long, big ACT-UP member.
Scientist.
Guided really, everybody through a lot of science that they didn't understand.
And how to challenge the federal government and demand better treatment, better trials, better everything. And in part, it turns out that I learned a little more at this was she had been badly treated in the profession.
As
and
most
regarded
women were.
As idiosyncratic. And she found a home in ACT UP because people were hungry for her knowledge and assistance because people were desperate. But I also heard a little tinge of, oh, wasn't it great that this straight woman who was so different from the rest of us would come help us? And I had to say something about, look, stop labeling people as different or strange. We are all in this together. And if we're not ready to accept everyone as allies in a coalition, we're getting nowhere. So please just cut out this business right. of strange.
Okay. And then James Wagner died. You can tell me more about him from ACT UP. I've certainly met him. He has died at 85, survived by his husband, Barry.
He was a member of the ACT UP group called Action Tours that used to they went to the Easter parade and held an ACT UP funeral in the middle of it. But he was probably most famously involved in the break-in at CBS at the evening news that I helped facilitate. He just was everywhere. He grew up in the Midwest. He was an insurance executive, but he got pulled into all this, and he really actually not maybe not the Midwest.
We are going to link to James's interview for the ACT UP Oral History Project.
And it's an amazing story.
You can hear more about him.
They infiltrated the Golden Globes. They put a big sign over the Statue of Liberty. They did sorts of things. And so he tells all those stories, and it's wonderful.
And, so that'll be in our email. If you want to be on our email list for these extras, go to gayusatv.org and sign up, and they'll send you an email saying you really want to do this. And if you do, you'll be on the list. And you can also look at our donation thing there on the homepage as well.
Yes, support Gay USA.
Please.
And then
pride.
Indiana, at Indiana University, they unveiled a statue of Ryan White. How many years later?
Keep Going. That's his mom, Jeannie, who's in the wheelchair there, and his sister.
Yeah. He died, what, at 18?
He died at 18 in 1990 and, of course, became a cause celeb.
Yep.
Elton John sort of adopted him.
He was the face paid for this statue.
He was so much the face of AIDS that they named the Ryan White Care Act for him. And that was first passed and right then in 1990 when he died, and which provides so much. But now a group of medical associations and providers have filed a lawsuit challenging the new federal requirements that basically ban gender-affirming care under it.
He became sort of the acceptable face of AIDS.
The innocent victims,
exactly,
they used to call them.
Exactly. But he was a great activist, and so was his mother. And there is that nice statue at Indiana University.
Okay.
All right. In entertainment news, mentioned the Robin Bird documentary, Bang My Box. I saw it. I went to the screening. It's terrific. And it's going to be on HBO starting June 30th.
HBO and HBO Max.
Yes. Bang My Box. And Lou Malettum has a couple of cameo appearances in it. Yes. Well, he and Robin and Al Goldstein sued because the government tried to censor it.
Right.
And they won. They won a First Amendment case to be able to do porn.
Oh,
Robin's, soft porn.
Robin is still around. The other two guys aren't.
Yeah.
So we've told you in the past that in regional theater, they've made a gay musical out of The Fantastics, which ran for 42 years off-Broadway in New York in the Village, starting in 1960. The new version makes the young lovers a gay male couple, not with their fathers, but with their mothers, co-starring. It's coming to Broadway at the Helen Hayes Theater on October 22nd. And next March, Gloria, by out playwright Brandon Jacobs Jenkins, who won the Pulitzer for his play Purpose, is booked there. The Times says that Gloria follows a group of low-level employees frantically trying to claw up the ladder of a prestigious magazine in New York.
A couple of movies you might want to keep an eye on. I haven't seen them, but Stop That Train, the RuPaul movie, is getting great reviews. You might want to check that out. And there's something called Girls Like Girls that is opening around the country this Friday.
What's that about?
Guess. I saw Queen Jean at Quags this week, CUNY Grad Center. She was terrific. She's brilliant. She's brilliant. Well, she just won a Tony for costume design, and she's a great activist with Black Trans Liberation. And she was just terrific in her speech at Quags. So I really enjoyed that. I enjoyed Cara Delevingne coming out as a full-fledged lesbian. And
Have been out as bisexual.
Exactly. And Dana Cathon of Vanderpump Rules, who has also come out as a lesbian. Shout out to my fellow late-in-life lesbians. Happy Pride. That was nice.
Yes.
And also nice, the reaction from the Knicks fan. Could he be gay? Who said that the Kylie Jenner-Taylor Swift hug at the end of the game was more shocking than the Knicks win?
Well, at one of the street parties in Brooklyn, two guys got up on a lamp pole and they're all celebrating. And then they started making out with each other, which got a lot of attention.
I'll bet it got a lot of applause.
Yes.
All right. So coming up last weekend in June on Friday night, the traditional drag march. We have a picture from last year.
Who's that?
That's me as a marshal. That's why I'm wearing that vest. And my friend Ken, known as Huckleberry, in that get up and those high heels.
Will you be marshalling again?
I will be marshalling again.
You could meet Anne if you go to the drag march.
Yes.
And she'll be wearing a yellow vest.
And you can meet Huckleberry, who is one of the creators and leaders of the drag march. That's at Tompkins Square Park on Friday night, assembling at 7.
Chris Cooper will be there.
Yep.
I'll be there.
Yeah, taking off at 8. It's a lot of fun. It's just casual.
I'll just be probably doing this drag.
You don't have to dress
lighter,
up, but right. It's just a casual thing. The dyke march will be happening on Saturday, leaving Bryant Park at 5. And on Sunday, the Pride Parade is at noon, and the Queer Liberation March is at 3
from Union Square.
And
right,
then we got everything in.
We did. And we're going to miss David Hockney. We're going to miss Anne, but Anne is going to be around for the next month and a half. So,
and Anne is still alive.
Yes.
As opposed to David Hockney.
Right.
All right. Thanks for tuning in. We will see you together next week.